Fountains of living water are breaking forth. We welcome you to partake of this great blessing through the spoken word of God through His servant. Be blessed.
Wonderful presence, and greet the person seated next to you. Say you are welcome to the meeting of the church. Ask them, how has your week been? Say, I hope you are not walking by sight. Oh, ask the neighbor, say, I hope you are not walking by sight. Say, I hope you are walking by faith. Say, I hope you walked based on the things you heard last week. Ask, I want you to, it's not just for you to ask, but say, I hope you walked based on the things you heard last week. Say, I hope your faith is being stirred up. Hey, I can't hear you. Say, I hope your faith is being stirred up. Say, I hope you are laughing in the face of famine and destruction. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can hear your voice. Hallelujah. Are you excited to be in God's presence this morning? Come on, jam those hands for Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, when we come into God's presence, we must come with excitement. You know, every lime juice spirit, every sorrow, everything, you just, as you will drop down from the cup, you just drop it with the cup. And you come into God's presence with liveliness, with joy, with pleasure, with excitement. Tell your neighbor, say, with excitement. You know, you are excited because you are about to hear God's word. You know, and it brings life to our bones. Say, life to our bones. It brings life to the structures of our life. And that is the only way we can live. How many of you believe that? That we live by the word. That is the, if we take the word away, then we are dead. Then we cannot live. So we are always excited to hear God's word. Say, tell your neighbor, say, I'm excited to hear God's word. Say, I will not be tired of hearing God's word. You see, pray for neighbor. Say, may you never be tired of hearing God's voice. Say, that is how you live. Yeah, that is the way to live. We live by the word. Say, I live by the word. Hey, I can't hear you. Say, I live by the word. Say, the word is my sustenance here on earth. That's the way we are sustained on the earth, by the word. Take the word away. We are finished. We can't do anything without the word. So we must keep hearing and hearing and hearing. Because it is as we keep hearing and hearing that faith is stirred up in our hearts to live. Amen. 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 Yeah, I know some of us who have...
Pastor Friday, please.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Obo veneti sifere lebo no hose klanish te pakania lebash te nahaya. Thank you, Jesus. See the Lord, give me heart. Give me your ears. Give me your heart. Give me your ears. Give me your attention. Give me your attention. Give me your attention, even much more, the way you give attention to other things. Give me attention this morning. Give me your heart this morning. Give me your attention this morning. Give me your ears to speak to you. I want to speak to you. Give me your attention. Incline your ears to my saints this morning. Incline your ears to my saints. Open your heart. Receive my word. Receive my word, even much more than you have opened your heart to other reports. You have opened your heart to other reports. You have opened your heart to reports that will make your faith crippled. You have opened your heart to reports that will plant fear in your heart. You have opened your heart to reports that is putting you under pressure to walk by sight. But give me your ears this morning. Through your ears, help me have entrance into your heart. Help me, help all. Give me your ears to have entrance into your heart. I want to get to that your heart. I want to get to that your heart. I want my words to be seated in your heart. I want your heart to receive my word this morning. This is the only way the word will profit. This is the only way you will live by this word. This is the only way you will live by this word. If you don't grant me entrance into your heart, that which have access to your heart will be the one that will spell out the life that you will live. Give me access to your heart. Give me access to your heart. That is the only way you'll be able to live the life that my word communicates. Open your heart and agree with my standards this morning. See you, the Lord.
Amen. You know, I think it was last night while I was word that came, and you know, the Lord started making me to see the reason why in this season we have to put a whole lot of attention to the word, especially when the word is coming. You know, as I was thinking, you know, yesterday we came for KBN, and you know, Pastor said a lot of things that, now many of you were at KBN yesterday. You know, it was a very refreshing time. You know, how many of you faith was really stirred up, you know, in my heart once again. And you know, but I think somewhere along the line, maybe I just got a little bit distracted at some point. So when I got home, I was trying to think about some of those things. And then I now began to ask God, why is it that when we come for meetings, I don't know if you feel that, but when you come for meetings, during the meetings, there is a whole lot of transaction, you know, taking place. In fact, we might be making decisions. When I get home, I'm going to go and listen to this thing. I have to pay. You will say some things. But then you get home, then sometimes you might not have as much intensity as what you had while in the world. And the Lord started telling me that there is a technology of hearing. That when we sit under the word, that as much transaction that you can take at that time, that you really have to take it. That because faith is not later. Faith is not then. What did they say? Said now is faith. So there is always a now for every word that comes. That right there, when that word is coming, you make transactions in your heart. And you see, you can't make that transaction based on that thought if you are not attentive. If you're not giving your heart to the word. No, you can be in the meeting and your mind can be wandering away. You have to look for a way and grace to gather. You might be thinking, I have this delivery to make. Okay, I've not done. No, the mind can be so far. You can be here and be in Chicago. You know? So we must have that. God must teach, we must have that grace that when we come for meetings, you know that there are transactions that must be taking place. You know, there's a person in the scripture that says that he that hearts, that when you come, that when the Lord is speaking, just being paraphrased, that he that hearts, that more will be given to that person. But he that does not have, even the one you have, will be what? Taken away. So when we come into God's presence, we must have the capacity to receive from God. We must have that hearing ears. We must have the attention. We must have our ears inclined to the word. If we don't, you find out that you won't be able to try. It is at that time, because faith is what? Now. At that time, there's a whole lot of, not that you cannot go and work on those things that you hear when you get home, but there is a now to faith, a transaction that must be taking place in our hearts, engaging the word, you know, engaging that word at that moment with the same intensity and frequency and energy in which the word is coming and eating you. At that time, you don't say later. Immediately you begin to try, it's an art transaction. There must be something within your heart that is transacting with that word. So I believe that in this season, you must not allow Satan to cheat us. God intended for you to come and just say, when I get back home, I'll go and listen to it. Maybe you may say, you just get distracted. You know, even with legitimate things. So there must be an attitude to hearing. Tell them, say there must be an attitude to hearing. There must be an attitude to hearing. When we come before Christ, you must have something that you bring. He said, he that hath, more will be given to that person. But he that hath not, he said, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall do what? Have more abundance. But whosoever does what? Hath not. So you come, no expectation, no desire, no transaction, you just come flat. Just come flat and flat and flat like that. He said, from him shall be taken away, even what? Even the tertiary that you have before, it will be taken away. So that is why that is the disaster of coming into God's presence without having expectation, without having transactions taking place. So said now is faith. So just to buttress that tongue that when we come into God's presence, we must come with our hearts inclined. Not just only our ears, our hearts inclined, wanting to receive. And as the word is coming, you know, we are also transacting, you know, with the word. It is very dangerous, let me put it the way, that's very dangerous for you to come into God's presence and allow your word to just be wandering and whatever. Even the tertiary understanding that you have, it will be taken away. So when we come, tell neighbor, say, you must have. You must have that capacity. And you say, and you know, another scripture said that it is what measure, the measure that you bring, it is that same measure it will be what? Meted out to you. So if you come with teaspoon of expectation or teaspoon of whatever, that is what you will receive. But if we come with so much expectation, you know, that's why you must receive grace from God. That's why pre-service intercession is important. You know, it's not for some people, it's not for watchers or whatever. It is to prepare our hearts for the word. The worship, the prayer, all of those things, not just because they are part of the routine list or schedule when we come to church. No, it is those things are things to prepare our hearts. You know, there is a manner in which we ascend God's presence. Not just like the things that Sheba saw when he came to Solomon. He said he saw the manner of what? The ascension. So there is a way to ascend into God's presence. There is a preparation of heart that must take place, presenting our hearts before God, getting our hearts prepared, you know, to receive those things that God has. That is how faith is generated in our heart. So if you see a believer that comes to church day in, day out, and he just comes, he just flat, no expectation, just come, and he just sitting down because if I don't come, my KCC leader will ask me. You find out at the end of the day, you will just be deteriorating. You won't bear much fruit. In fact, it's better you sit down and not come, you know, based on that scripture. Because if you come without having those things, even the one you have, it will be what? Taken away. So I believe that God will help us in these seasons to hear well. Amen. I can't hear your amen. Amen. So we will still be continuing on the issue of faith. Last week, we covered some steps. Pastor Friday did a good job, you know, the first 2 weeks, laying up foundation. And last week, we made some progress about faith. So this morning I'll be emphasizing some of the things we said last week, and then we'll be moving forward as well. So like we said last week, faith is about a person. Central to faith is God. What did I say? If you take away God, there is no faith. So you see it in the scripture. Your faith has to be, like I said last week, your faith has to be hinged on someone. It is faith in a person. So faith, it is faith in a person, not just the heart. One of the reasons why so many faiths are shaking, or most of those faiths are not that grounded, is because many times, sometimes our faith is just in the heart and not in the person. What carries us through, really, is the faith in the person. So you will see in Mark 11, it said, have faith in who? God. It did not say have faith in things, have faith in that. It said have what? Faith in what? God. I can't hear you say, have faith in God. And Jesus answering saith unto them. So when they saw, you know, it was it's because of time, I won't be able to go and check that place. You know, it was in the context of the fig tree. Jesus walked some days and did not see fruit on the fig tree, and then he cursed the fig tree that henceforth nobody is going to eat out of your fruit. Then after some few days, they came back, and then the disciples saw that, wow, the fig tree had actually withered. So they were, you know, they actually marveled at that. And Jesus said that, no, it's not about the heart. Said, have what? Faith in God. It is that faith in God that actually produces the hearts. So if you don't have faith in God, those hearts cannot follow. He said, and these signs shall do what? Follow them that do what? Believe. So the first thing is believing in someone, and then the act of faith can now begin to do what? Follow. So you believe in, you have faith in God, then the actions of faith now begin to follow. So it is so. The emphasis of faith is in him, not it. What did I say? The emphasis of faith is in him and not it, not in the actions, but in God. And you know, that was the difference between Moses and the children of Israel. You know, you see that most of the children of Israel, God showed them a whole lot of his heart. But for Moses, he had God's ways. And you see that for them, even despite all some of those miracles that were done, you see that it still got to a point that they still had unbelief, despite everything. But for Moses, it wasn't so. Because it was more of faith in a person than in the heart. You also see the same thing with people when Jesus fed some people with bread. They kept coming. They were coming. Not because they really believed in him. It was because of what? Of the heart. I know at some point he told them when he wanted to move them to another level of faith, you see that they could not do what? They could not go with him. Because most of what their faith was just based on the acts that they were seeing, rather in the person. I know, as I was thinking about this yesterday, now one of the things God started laying in my hand was that's one of the major pitfall of the current of the church. That, you know, people believe, people have faith so much in heart, but not in the person. So you see many people, the reason why they are seeking God is not because of him. It is because of those hearts. So if you go to most of the prayer mountains where they are praying, when they are sharing testimony, and people are believing God, I'm believing God, it is more in the act rather than in the person. If you take the acts away, or if you give them the acts and now want to move them to another level of faith, you find that a majority cannot move forward. So faith is in God. It is having, that is the centrality of faith. It is the emphasis of faith is him, not what? Not it. So, and we have said it is faith in a person. And you know, once you have, I know it is just like, you know, you said that there's this, whatever that people say that you should teach a person how to catch fish. You know that you should be giving the person. When you have faith in God, it makes it easier for the acts of faith to follow you. You know, just like Daniel 11, that said, those that know their God, they shall be what? They shall be strong. And what will they do? They will do what? Exploits. Those exploits are exploits of faith. Because they know him, they are strong. Their faith is strong in him. And because of that, they shall be strong. And they shall do what? They shall do exploits. But not the doing of exploits is hinged on what? On knowing God. Say knowing God. So we must not make that mistake of, you know, emphasizing on faith without emphasizing about having faith, what, in God. And you can't talk about having faith in God. Our faith grows stronger the more we know him. So you say, oh, I want my faith to grow strong. I don't have faith. The more you know him, the stronger your faith becomes. And the more you can do what? Exploits of faith. Say exploits of faith. So faith should be a product of knowing him. That knowing him produces what? An assurance. Like I said last week, it's an assurance that he is capable of doing certain things. Let's look at 2 Timothy 1:12. For the which cause I saw also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. You see, one of the problems with faith in church, see people, they'll say, do people get offended? Maybe they'll say, I'm believing God for something. And then maybe that thing. You know, Pastor told us something the first we started faith. He said, the result of faith is what? I can't hear you. It's faith. It's not really the result. It is actually faith. So you see, a lot of believers, you know, they say, oh, I believe in God. And then maybe those things don't come to them. They get offended. Say, I believe God. God did not answer me. And blah, 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 blah. And then because of that, they withdraw. They don't follow God. I'm offended with God. I prayed. God did not answer me. Those kind of people, their faith is not in God. Or we can say their faith is weak. You see, one of the things that knowing God does for you is that you know that it is not just about the result, but it is about what? The process. Say, for this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, despite all of these things, I am not what? Ashamed. Why? For I do what? Know. Whom? Not what? Not the action. For I know whom I have what? Believed. And what? And I am what? Persuaded. So this person has moved beyond having faith to a place of trust. said, I have believed and I'm persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until what? That day. So, irrespective, you know, so you see that it was starting with English people telling you that it was starting with the negative, whatever. Well, it was like a contrary thing. But the reason why he's not perturbed, why he's not ashamed, why he's not looking, why he's not allowing the present situation and circumstance to determine, you know, what he believes, to determine his stand, is because I know whom I have what believed. I know that I just don't want to believe. I am what? Fully persuaded. So that knowing him has produced something. His faith is strong. That said, that those that know their God, they will be what? They will be strong. So that persuasion is that strength of trust. But you know, so one of the things that we must be able to do, you know, that will help our faith to be strong, is that we must know the Lord. Say, know the Lord. You see, like I said, the more you know the Lord, the more your faith becomes what? Stronger. You come to it because you know that person. You know, it's just like some of us, you know that every month, if you're a civil servant, you know that every month, either the government likes it or not, they will pay salary. So you know the government. But you don't know the government. Those people that are working with the government, you know that every month, it might be delayed though, but you have that assurance. Because over time, that you have related with the government, you have come to know that government will always do what? Pay salary. So even if the thing is delayed, so normally, let's say that maybe they pay you on the 26th, and it doesn't come on that 26th, will you be thinking that, maybe this one, I'm not going to collect salary? No, you know that they are going to pay. It might just be that maybe it's a little bit delayed. Maybe something. Don't be asking, IPC, no problem. Is it the pain? Is it the band that's having problem? You know, begin to ask, say, have you seen any circular about the reason why the salary is not paid? But you know that what? The salary is what? Going to be paid. Because over the years that you have retired the government, that's your tired to die in the government, to man's son salary every month. So in that instance, you are what? You already have a knowledge. And that produces, so even if it is delayed, this thing is, you know, like people with, like, when people in UID were saying that we collected salary on the 42nd, you know, because salary was paid maybe February 11th. So they said, today is January 42nd. Yeah. They did not have a doubt that they would not pay the money. They were in expectation. They kept open. They asked the question, have you seen any salary to that effect? Did this anything happen? But everybody knows that salary is what? He still come. They were persuaded. So that's the same thing. When you know God, you come to a place of persuasion. It is not a matter of I'm doubting if God can do it. It's a matter of when is the timing. Amen. Amen. So one of the things for us as believers that we must be able to do is now to discern the Lord what rightly. Why did I say? You see, you cannot talk about faith and without going back to the place of knowing the Lord and discerning the Lord rightly. So, for example, as we all know, we can discern the government rightly, that the government, as long as, you know, we have always known, governments will always pay salary for federal workers. State government, we might see, so the government can hold, but federal government doesn't in that way really, really hold. You know, there are some state government that hold people for 10 months. It is in the nature of state government. They can do that. But we know that federal government has not come to a place where they will be, except maybe if you go on strike and they want to punish you. But we know that the normal behavior of the government is that every month they would always do what? They will always pay. They might not pay 13th month though, but you know that at least they will pay your normal salary. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Why do you have that faith? Because you already know them. So one of the things you must also know is to be able to discern the Lord rightly. Say, discern the Lord rightly. We must be able to discern the Lord rightly. We must have the right perception about him. You can be a believer in these waters and not have the right perception about God. Yes. You might see God as a tax master. You know, even with the fact that we are ready, I know that now a lot of understanding is coming and things are being made clearer. You know, some of you, when you hear suffering, you just say, God, when you think about suffering, When you just hear suffering and tribulation, just feel God just wants to punish you and make your life miserable. He doesn't want you to have anything in this life. But you know, message is coming. I understand it's coming out to make us see what suffering is. That suffering is actually training. That suffering is actually what? Discipline. So when you are going to school as a medical student and you are reading, and all your friends, when you finish class, all your friends, they go, then you just tell gist. You have to stay back in the overnight and read. When all of them are just reading one, five handouts, and you have plenty of books like this, you are reading. You won't be seeing yourself. Will you be considered, my friend, they are enjoying it? No, you don't see it that way. How do you see? No, that it is a discipline that you have to go through because there is a reward what awaiting you. Amen. That is a perception. That is what an understanding. But not if somebody has the wrong understanding and say, so why is it? Why is it that me and medical student, I'm going through all this rigor? And then look at people in, there's no cause that is not good. But maybe you see people in... All of my love for you. No, you're performing at nobody are dancing. No, they're really, really pleasurable. And then they say, hey, so why are they not see them? Me, I don't even understand the thing. Exam is coming. I'm always failing. I'm not doing well. And then you now begin to have a wrong perception. Will that kind of person be able to put through medical school? Why? Because the person already has what? A wrong perception. So the same thing also. If you, when you see suffering, the way you see tribulum, when you hear tribulum, God wants to, in court, and you don't have a right perception that tribulations, when you hear tribulation, so when you strike, you know, Satan has done a bad work. Once our soul hears tribulation like this, my fellow, bye. Whereas what God, what the at the centerpiece or the center of tribulation and suffering is actually what? Discipline. It is what? Training up. It is what? To make you what you want to become. How many of you want to become? Even if you want to become a dresser, you have to go through the discipline. You will go to your girl's house. You know what? They will say you should go and fetch water. They will say you should back the girl's baby. It is all what? Part of the what? Training process. If you get and say, I'm not going to do it, you cannot graduate from that hairdressing, whatever. Because all of those things are what? Part of the discipline. So that somebody going through and say, we came to learn. They are telling us to be doing all of those things. Blah, blah, blah. That person cannot be a good hairdresser. Because all of those things are there to train and what? And discipline. So when we have, so what I'm trying to say today, that if we have a wrong perception or discernment about God, it will be very difficult for us to have faith. We will always misinterpret the things. So we must be able to discern the Lord rightly, having the right perception about him. So, for example, as you are joining in this part, you must know as a basis the loving kindness of God, that your father is a loving and kind word person. Let's look at Jeremiah 9:24. So that must be at the back what of your mind. For you to have it, because if you don't have that, you won't be able to express faith. So thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Nor let the rich man glory in his riches. But let him who glories, glory in this, that what? He understands. And what? Knows me. That's what? What is the first thing? The Lord, what? What is the first expression? What is the first thing you must know about God? That he exercises what? Loving kindness. So even when God takes you through certain situations that are like maybe denial, maybe you have even believed God for something and as if that thing is not coming. It is not to not say, God, you are a taskmaster, you are a wicked God. You don't answer my prayer. Because at the back of your mind, you have that assurance. You know him. That God is what? He exercises what? Loving kindness. That he is a kind God. That he is what? He is what? Loving. Say loving.
Loving.
That he is kind. So we must know this. Every one of us. You know, we must understand and know that the Lord is kind. That the Lord is what? The Lord loves you. So no matter what you go through in your path of faith, you have that what? At the basket. That I'm the Lord exercising loving kindness. Then what? Judgment. So it is when you know that God has loving kindness, you'll be able to receive his judgment. If you don't have that, when God brings his judgment, you might even want to curse him. So you must also know that about the Lord, that the Lord is kind. The Lord is loving. His judgment and righteousness in the heart. For in these, that is in loving kindness, in judgment, and in righteousness, I delight. So it is God's delight. You know, we say what delights God is to show us loving kindness. So this prayer, why are you meaning? God, can't you see me? Can't you feel me? Can't you feel my pain? That is when you begin to say that you don't understand and know the Lord. Because it's like praying that God, you can't feel my pain. God is a loving God. He's a loving Father. He's a kind God. But you know, another thing that you must know about him is that even in that his loving kindness is where he chastises us. When he takes us through processes. And the end of that process said, for the thoughts that I have towards you are what? Thought of good. And what? Not of what? Evil. To do what? Bring you to an expected end. There is an expected end. And it is a glorious end. So you must know that about God. Therefore, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you what? A future and what? A hope. So you must know that about God. Say, know that about God. Another thing that we must know about God is that we must know both the kindness and the severity of God. Romans 11:22. Therefore, consider the goodness and what? Severity of God. So God can be good. And at the same time, he can be what? Severe. Now, these are some of the things. So you see some of the things that we do. That's why some people's faith as shipwrecked. Because you just feel God is just always pampering you, even no matter what you sin, that you can continue in sin and grace can abound, and all that. It is because you don't know the Lord. Yeah. Said, therefore, consider the goodness and what? Severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but towards you, goodness. If, with a condition, if you continue what? In his goodness. Otherwise, you also will be what? Cut off. So God is a double-edged sword. He can be good, and he can also be what? Severe. So we must also understand that about God. Amen. Last, I want us to look at 1 Timothy 6:17. Now, you know, God has given us all things to freely enjoy. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in who? Can you see? Can you also place with the faith to trust in who? The living God. Who does what? Gives us sparingly? No. What? Richly. All things what? To enjoy. So God, so in the heart of God, in the real heart of God, God wants us to have all things, you know, richly what? To enjoy. But you see, God will not give us the prosperity of fools. He will not give you what will kill you. Based on who you are now. So it doesn't cause God to give us all things that you have for everything, you know. But, you know, God will also look at you and check it out. What can you, what, and do? It is part of his loving kindness. You see, it will be an irresponsible father that will have all riches, maybe has cars, everything, and then calls on maybe someone like Ovie and say, I love you so much. I have everything. And then gives him a car key and say he should be driving it. Can he give him the car? Yes, he can give him the car. He has the capacity to give him. But at that season, does he have the cognitive and emotional capability to handle a car? No. So part of love, God's loving kindness is that at that stage, God will not give him. If he truly loves him. Because if he truly loves him, he wants to keep him. Because if he keeps him at that stage, not that he can shipwreck. He can kill himself and even kill people and end up in jail. So part of loving kindness of God that sometimes God looks at. So it's not that it's difficult for God to, you know, do that. But many times God also checks it out. And see, if I give you these things, will it be, God is always thinking about salvation. Say salvation. That is always this. So we must understand this thing about God, that really, it is God's desire to give me all things to richly enjoy. Amen. Amen. So you must know this about God, so that you don't start seeing God as a taskmaster. Because if you go to prayer without having all of this, and you go and you approach God, you might not come to God with faith. You might come with a wrong perception. And when you already come with a wrong perception, you produce doubts in your heart to receive from God. Amen. Amen. So you must stay also knowing his capability. That's what took Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do what? Exceedingly, abundantly, above what? All that we what? Ask. Or what? Think. According to what? The power that works in us. According to his dealing in us. Hallelujah. According to the things that he has wrought in us. He's able to do exceedingly. So he must have just that kind of perceptions and, you know, an attitude that we must have what? Towards God. Amen. Amen. Lastly, I want us to look at Mark 6 from verse 1 to 6 before we move to the next point. So if you don't discern him rightly, if you don't discern God rightly, you won't be able to receive certain things from him. And we see this. Then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. Verse 2. And when the Sabbath had come, he came to his own village, or maybe his own town, to his own people. He began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were what? Astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him, that such mighty works are what? Performed by his hands. Is this not? Can you now see? So this, that was what I was saying, but they had a wrong perception. It was a wrong, that was not the way they were supposed to see him. So is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, Joses, Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? So they were what? Offended at him. The way they perceived him, the way they discerned him, brought what? Offense. And see, verse 4. But Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in what? In his own country, among his own what? Relatives, and in his own what? House. Now, he could not. Imagine Jesus, that is all powerful, that there is nothing impossible for him to do. But in this situation, because he was wrongly discerned, because they have a wrong perception about him. Now he was supposed to be faith. At that time, when things were supposed, they were supposed to be actions of faith, nothing could happen. Say now, he could do no mighty works there, except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he marveled because of what? Their unbelief. So it was so that wrong perception produced what? Unbelief. So that's what I'm saying. So if you have a wrong perception about God, what it is going to believe in your, what it's going to produce is unbelief. And eventually it will bring about limitations. So tell neighbor, say we must discern him. Say we must know him. So we must have a right perception about God. So he must have a right perception about God. You know, that was the same thing that happened to Kenneth Hagin. You know, when he was sick, as Pastor was teaching us. Because the perception they had then was that there was no healing. When you are sick like this, you just die. Until he now got the word and began to look at the word. Then his perception changed. That, okay, I don't really, based on God's word, I don't really have to die. God can actually, for the people around him and his reality, then they are. Perception was what? That's the end. Death. You are that sick, you are dying. Just encouraging him until death came. That was their own discernment and perception about God. Until he went into the world and began to see his perception was now changed. And when his perception was changed, faith was developed in his heart. Amen. Those people had wrong perception about healing and God. And so they did not have the faith to generate it. So when you have a wrong perception about God, it will be difficult for you to generate faith. So until Hagenau began to read, and then he now had a different perception, and then faith now rose in his heart to believe God for what? For healing. So we must know him. We must have the accurate perception of God about situations and what? Circumstances. Amen. So that is central. You know, like I've said, faith is in God. It is knowing him is central to faith. Now we're not going to look at how to grow our faith. How do we grow our faith? It's not like I said, the more we know him, the stronger our faith. So your faith will grow the more you know the Lord. You know, if you did math, you say faith is directly proportional. Knowing God is directly proportional what to faith. The more you know the Lord, the more your faith what grows. We've read Daniel 11:32 that those that know their God, they shall be what strong and they will do exploits. Let's look at Proverbs 24:10. If you faint in the day of what adversity. Your strength is what? Small. So one of the ways that makes you know your faith level, that you know where you are, is when trials of faith come. So when trials of faith come, they come to test and know where your faith is. So if your faith is little, you will faint in the what? In the days of adversity. But you see, one of the things that the trial of faith, know that the purpose of exam is not for us to fail. How many of you believe that? You don't believe. The main reason for exam is not for people to fail. It's just to make you know, to assess you and know if you are fit for the next stage. Really, they want you to go to the next stage, but they just want to be sure that you're actually fit to go to the next stage. So one of the things that trial of faith comes to do is it assesses our faith, and then it has something in mind. So you said the trial of your faith does what? Work at patience. So let patience ask its full course. So, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be what? Perfect. And what? Complete. And what? Lacking not. So, you want to come to a place where you are not lacking in faith at all. So, trials of faith come. So, when trials of faith come, they come to show us where, what? They come to assess our faith level. And we can have little faith or great faith. Let's look at Matthew 8:26. In Matthew 8:26, you see the disciples. Jesus was, they were in the boat, and then the wind came. And they began to say, let's start from verse 25. You know, and then they began to shout, Master, Master. Then his disciple came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we are perishing. Let's see verse 26. But he said to them, why are you fearful? O ye of what? Little faith. So one of the ways we know that your faith is little is that when you are fearful. So fear is a litmus test that your faith is what? Little. Because when faith is full, when you are faithful, one of the things it produces is that it makes you strong. You are not fearful, you are courageous. So then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. So fear is a sign of what? Little faith. And you see, when you don't have faith at all, it is sin. That's what Romans 14:23. You said that anything that is not done out of faith is what? Sin. Say faith, Romans now. Romans 14:23. As thou faith, have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he allowed. Verse 23. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of what? Faith is what? Is sin. So God doesn't want us to do anything in our life without faith. He wants us to always do what? Have what? Faith. So like I said, faith can be little. When there is fear, then it shows that your faith is little. That faith needs to grow. And you know, the faith can actually be great. It was said concerning the saint. Let's look at the story of the centurion man. You know, in that place, that was one of the places where they mentioned that I have not seen so great faith in Israel. Matthew 8:8-10. Let's start from verse 8. So that you can see, so you can have little faith, you can have no faith, little faith, and you can have great faith. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not. So, you know, the centurion's child was healed and wanted a miracle. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be what? Healed. For I am a man under authority. I have soldiers under me. And I said to this man, go, and he goeth. And to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth. So he understood, he had an understanding of authority. He knew what God could do. That all he just needed to do was just to speak a word. That the word is just enough. And then verse 10. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, verily I say unto you, I have not found what? So great faith. No, not what? In Israel. So you can actually have great faith. Great faith where there is no fear. Where you know, Lord speak the word and it is done. So God wants us to come to that place where our faith is so grown that we have so great faith. Tell neighbor, say you can have so great faith. So faith can actually be built. You have to, and you know, it is one of the ways that faith is grown, is investing in building a relationship with Him. You are, like I said, knowing Him, understanding Him, produces faith in our heart. So the more you invest in that which will make you know Him, the more your faith grows. And you don't have to wait for, and I said faith is an investment. What did I say? Faith is not something that you begin to gather in the day of trial. Imagine you have an exam and it's that day you're now opening your book. Have you not failed? That is automatic failure. Imagine you throughout the whole semester, you didn't go to class, you didn't do anything, then it's not the day of exam. That's a hand. Hey, we have all the lecture material. Let me quickly go through it. No. That's what some of us do at times too. It is when in the time of trial, we now want to stir up faith. No, it doesn't work that way. Faith is an investment. Say faith is an investment. You can invest. This is something that you must have been investing in. Investing. You know, faith is like a check. You know, it's like you have money in the bank. You can use faith to withdraw. You know, to cash out. Yes. Faith is a check for cashing out in days of adversity. You use it to cash out acts of God. Acts of faith in the days of adversity. So you must invest in faith. Say invest in faith. So we talked about knowing the Lord. Another thing is word level. You know, when word level is low, faith will be low. So I wrote that. I said word level is directly proportional to what? Faith. So if you see, when you see people that don't give attention to the word, their faith will naturally be low. Because faith is what produces faith. Say faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? The word of God. So when you see someone that is always joking with the word, that person, you cannot have faith. There's no investment taking place. There's no transaction. You're not storing up, you know, things that you would need. See, let me tell you something. Trials would always come. Yeah. So we need word. Say word. I can't hear you. Say word. So we must invest in the word. Reading. And now I'll start from basic things. So word, say, I'm coming to you. Yeah, good. The one we are hearing, it is good. But just basic, reading the scriptures. Say reading the scriptures. You see, reading the scriptures, one of these I found out this year, you know, I remember this year, God said, I want you to invest in the word. And so I started reading the scriptures. So now I just said, God, I just read scriptures. Just reading the scriptures, you know, I just found out that it was a lot of refreshing. Certain things that I began to see in the scripture, okay, and you know, was just brushing my memory about God. Even some things that normally, you know, maybe I've even forgotten. No, just reading the scripture, it just generates what? A faith in your heart. So what I'm saying, we must give attention to reading of scriptures. Say, give attention to reading of scriptures. So if you're someone that every day you just go out, you don't hear word, you don't read scriptures, your faith is going to be very low. It's very sometimes you say, Pastor, you'll be waiting to call Pastor. Pastor, please, what should I do? What should I do? What should I do? Whatever. You know, but investing in the word, reading the scripture, those things do what? They generate some faith. some level of faith in our heart. So we must invest in the word. Say invest in the word. Let's look at Psalm 119 verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a what? A light to my path. So I said, so the word, so these two things. The word can be general and the word can be specific. What did I say? So the word being a lamp to my feet. My feet, that means for immediate day-to-day activity. Day-to-day situations that you come in contact with, the word can provide, supposed to provide what? Guidance. So sometimes you find out that maybe during your devotion in the morning, you've read certain scriptures or something, something happens during the day, and then you can fetch from that thing. He gives you a sense of direction. He gives you a sense of, for your immediate, you know, day-to-day operations of faith. You know, and also, like I said, what can be general in that, in the sense that the word can shed light on your future and show you what God wants. You all know our hand is salvation. It is eternal life. You know, it can do that. But even beyond that, it can be a lamp to your feet on the immediate, in your day-to-day activity, every step that you take. So, for example, me, I'm walking somewhere. You want to walk here. You know, there's no light. You need light. You are going to that room here. If you have a lamp, a torch, if you have a candle, you shine the lamp. That candle is not going to light up the whole of your state. Is it going to light up the whole of your state? But at least in your walk towards this place, that candle can do what? Provide light. So he's saying that the word of God can be two-dimensional. It can, it is instructional in your day-to-day activity. And not only that, it casts a light on your path, on your future. It makes you to see the end product. It makes you see that faith is not just only what you need for day-to-day activity. That faith is also is something you also need to journey into God. But that's one of the things that the church has done. So everybody has faith. We have faith. I can believe God for this. I can believe God. But you know, that light to show that it is beyond even the things that God provides. That there is a journey. There is a future. There is an end product to all of those things. So your word is what? A lamp to my feet. And what? A light to my path. So it is specific for daily direction. It helps with our future and our entire world lifespan. So you cannot afford to joke with the word. So you must always go into the word. So for even your day-to-day activity, day-to-day operations, you need the word. Tell your neighbor, say you need the word. That is why we cannot joke with the place of your personal devotion, or even after you have heard the word preached. Those things, you know, we can say that the word, in another context, the word preached in the assembly, that is as we come, can be a general word. But there's also a lamp in that word that is for you, that is designed for you. Instructions that are designed for you for daily living to overcome in your daily walk was with the Lord. Another thing that the word does in growing of our faith is that it prevents presumption and it gives us the substance. You know, I think it was Pastor that was telling us that faith is not igboju, it's not motivation. I can do it. Tell yourself, wake up in the morning, you look into the mirror and you tell yourself, Fisayo, you can make it. I can make it. Yes, I can make it. I can make it. That is not faith. It is not motivation. One of the things that the word does is that it gives you a substance for what you are believing God for. It doesn't make you to be presumptuous and just assume that this is, you know, you know, even with the word, you can be presumptuous. You can read the word and say, this is what God is saying. It is in the word and I'm going to follow it like that. No. Without the substance, the word must become, is it remana that they call it? It must become rema to you. It must give you a substance. Yes, you have read it in the Bible, it is there. But what is the substance? As it eats a substance in your heart. So it delivers the word helps us not to be presumptuous. Now many believers are presumptuous. You know, as I can wake up one day and say, God, I want to be the president of Nigeria. That whatever you think, if you believe it, you can have it. No, so you have some people that have some weird faith like that. And I was giving, God has said that whatever I want, as long as I say it and I believe it, I can have it. Yes, it is in the word. But has God given you a substance, a leading? That is where, that is the lamp to your feet. Are they giving you a substance for it? No, it's presumption. Just say, oh, it is there. Yes, okay. Now, you need to still wait to receive direction, to receive the substance, to receive the leading. So faith. So the word keeps us from presumption. Just say, you know, one of the things that the excess, I call the excess of motivation, just think it. If you can think it, you can have it. No. Is it in God's will? It is the word that will trim all our excesses. All our, I call it unfettered desires and passion. You know, sometimes we have some desires that are unfettered passion and desire. Lust of the eyes that we still have. I now want to use your faith to, you know, they work that way. That neighbor say, no, they work that way. Say, you ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on what? Your pleasure. So he said, God, I need breakthrough. Why do you need that breakthrough? Why do you want? Yes, God wants you to enjoy all things freely. But what is the substance? What is the substance that the Lord has given you concerning that matter? That episode, that saves you from a lot of presumption. Because many believers they've gotten offended, you know, by acting on what? Presumption. So that's one of the things that the word of the Lord does. It makes you understand God's will. He puts a lamp to your feet. He trims your excesses, your unfettered desires, your unfettered passion. He trims covetousness and keeps us in his will. He keeps away unfettered desires and what? And passions. So say, at what level must increase? So it is what that does. It's what that sanctifies. So the more you sit under the word, the word will take away those things. Because sometimes we ask those things just to consume them on our lust. It happened to the children of Israel. They were asking for flesh. God gave it to them, but it was to their what? To their destruction. And there's a place in the prophets that said, they answered them according what? To the idols of our heart. May the Lord not answer you according to the idols of your heart. Look, I see your faith and say according to the idols. So you can actually do that. But you know, one of the things that God wants to do is to use, one of the things that the word does is that the word sanctifies us. It cleanses us. It takes away every worldly thing. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride. You know, some people, the reason why they want to make it is not for, you know, like Pastor was teaching us here today, that the reason why God wants our business to prosper is because of what? For the kingdom. That's the reason. You know, some people, the reason why they want to make it. So they don't just want to hammer. They just want to enjoy life. Ah, I want to show them. Them go, they will take. Ah, in this life, I must enjoy. Ah, I'm not bothered about what Lobo say. Have you heard those kind of things? I'm not bothered about what Lobo. Ah, and they will be using scripture and everything. I'm not bothered about what Lobo. Ah, I'm going to make here. I'm going to make here. Head, I'm the head. I'm not the tail. I'm going to make it. He's praying the scripture, he's saying everything written, but that is the motive. So what the word does is that the word purifies those motives. He purifies every unfaith. You know, some people, some of you, see, let me be very sincere. Some of you, if they give you, when you are looking at it, you are humble because of what is that for you. It is the truth. Some of you, if the reason why you are humble, that your pastor can still call you and you will answer, is because you are not hammer. When you are my mama, you go tear for pastor for the case. You will tear. Say waiting. Close one. I can buy all. You look at them. You see, I have one uncle that told my mom that. You know, it was from very humble, and then he really made it. He became very rich, and then he would just be insulting everybody. Even my mom that trained him in school, he would talk. So when the nurse said, he said it's not his fault. He said that when you have money, he said money makes you naughty. It was a deeper life, oh. He said money makes you. So when you have, he said he was just apologizing to my mom. Okay, you saw it the way he talked. Said, but he said it's not his fault. He said, mommy, when you have money, Say, money makes you naughty. As in, you just get somewhere. Maybe I got to say something. You just accept them from the beginning to the end. I say, okay, rest number one. That's where money have you. But you know what God wants to do? God wants to purify all of those motives. When you even have money, you know that this money, I am just a custodian. I am just a manager. You know, some of if money enter your house, you say, oh, the reason why you have not buy, when people, somebody is going to buy an iPhone, I say, you're just wasting money. You're not kidding. It's because of what it don't wear. When if money hits you like this, you will begin all your tests, the tests that we never believe that you have in this life, you just begin to show. That's when we know that you can use phone of 2.5 million. That's where we know now you are using palace and you are using it and you are enjoying it. That's when we know that, oh my God, we just begin. Now we see you just dress humbly. That's when we see you have, you know, maybe you have one brand of shoe and you have it in different colors, 10. Maybe it is Timberland. You have pink, white, blue, yellow. You just have them. So that's why sometimes God will not give us those things until the word has trimmed every unfettered desire. Every unfettered desire. Unfettered passion. Some of you think you cannot carry babe. It's because you never get money. When you have money, you just will say, he don't share, they can spoil it now. Just do, then the gates of Shina just be opened. May the Lord help us. So it is the word. So you see the reason why some people and people begin to faith. So some people's God will not answer. But God is looking at that tendency. It's not as if I cannot give you all these things. But I know you're not mobile. God knows us. Say, God knows us. But you say, God, I forward dummy wo. I forward dummy wo. I forward dummy wo. I want brothers to say, I know you. I know you. I know you. Imagine the king forward dream. Bye. As you know, let me, okay, you know, what I say in your advice is that, God bless me. And see, if I will not use the money to prosper your kingdom, God is it's a lie. People have said more than that. Wait, let us first of all deal with you. Let's deal with the covetousness. Let's deal with the pride. Let's deal with the lust of the eyes. Let's deal with selfishness. You know, that message that Pastor preached today was so powerful. You know, if God can achieve that motive in our hearts, it doesn't cost God anything to bless us. Habiki Lero. Oh, Jesus, time has come. What the word does is that the word purifies so that we can come into more fruitfulness. So what the Lord wants to do with us, he wants to use the word to purify us. Then he can bring us into harvest, into fruitfulness, into what? Abundance. Amen. Amen. So the next thing we're looking at that helps our faith to grow is prayer. Say prayer. The Bible says men ought to pray. And what? And not to faint. One verse says, and not to lose heart. So when you don't pray, what will happen? You will lose heart. I like that version. It said, men ought to pray. Then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and what? Not lose heart. So when you are prayerful, one of the things that happens is that you will not lose heart. You will not be faint hearted. You will not be what? Fearful. So prayer helps to boost our faith. I wrote, I said, it chases away fear. It helps our unbelief. Let's look at Mark 9:23. It helps our unbelief. So there was this guy. Said, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who be. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. So there was a child that was dead. He wanted children. I think they had a demonic oppression. So he wanted him to be healed. And then Jesus said to me, if you can believe, all things are possible. The disciples have tried. They could not cast out the demon. So Jesus came and said, help. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who what? Believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. So you can see two things there. He had some level of faith, but there was still unbelief. And God had told him that it is only if you can believe that you can, all things will be possible. So there are times that, yes, you know that God can do it, but... Hey, God can do it, I know. God has said it, I know. Looking at the situation, but when you are beginning to have that, you need to go and pray. Like that man said, help what? My unbelief. Amen. You need to take it to the place of prayer. Hallelujah. And pray it through. Amen. And let those fears be taken away. Amen. So that's one of the things that fear takes. You know, you see Jesus, happened to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. He knew that he was supposed to go to the cross. But he got to a point where he was just like, Father, what if we can just pass over? I mean, he went to pray. And you know, in the place of prayer, what happened? He was strengthened. So sometimes, you know, you can sometimes come to that situation in which you know, they've said it, I know, I believe, but there's still fear. There's still some unbelief. Faith is still little. You are still considering the winds. At that time, you need to cry out to God and say, God, help me. Help my unbelief. Help me take away this fear. And you don't know what will happen. Let's look at Psalm 107. When you do that, let's look at Psalm 107, verse 19 to 20. When you pray those kind of, let's start from, then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their world distress. And how did he do? He said, he sent his word. Say, sent his word. And healed them and delivered them from their world destructions. So when we go into God in prayer, you know, that crying out is crying out to the Lord for help. Crying out in the place of prayer. One of the ways that the Lord responds to us is by giving us the word. He gives you a substance. He gives you a lamp to light your path, to light your feet in that situation. That word can be a sense of direction. It can be an inspiration. It can be clear instructions. It can be ideas. Clear thoughts of God concerning that particular issue. In the place of prayer, those things will just come. Things become clearer. You know? So when you are, maybe when you believe one, then it's like everything is just over. Take that thing in prayer and pray it through. And receive a substance again. Let the Lord minister to you. God can give you a direction. God can give you an idea. God has said this concerning your business. And this is what you are seeing. And then, you know, you have to get, maybe I should go and take government job. Maybe this thing is not going to work. And then, you know, fears begin to come. Take it back to God. God, this is what you have said, but this is how I'm feeling. Cry out to God. You will begin to see a sense of direction. It can come through the word. It can come through specific ideas. It can come through specific directions. That will be what? A lamp to your feet. Never give up. What did I say? Never give up to fear and doubt. You take it to God in prayer, and clear thoughts concerning that issues will come. Let's look at Jeremiah 15:16. It is in that place of prayer that you find the word, that you will find the substance. So that's why prayer is important. So if God says, if you are lazy in the place of prayer, things that God has spoken concerning you cannot be fulfilled. They said that the lazy man, even the meat, is whatever, he cannot roast it. Said, your words were found. So it is in the prayer, you know, like I said, he cried out to the Lord, then the Lord sent his word and healed them. So it is in the place of prayer that your words were found. And I do what? I heard them. And what happened? And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. That rejoicing of my heart is faith rising up in the heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. So in the presence, I said, do not be anxious for nothing, but with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be. He said, and the peace of God. That peace can come as a word. It can come as a direction. It can come as an idea. There is something that is released in your heart. You see, that thing that is released in your heart is now what you need to go and face that situation. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 55. So in these days, he said, I found your word. I heard them. It produced rejoicing in my heart. A joy, a peace, a confirmation, an assurance, a strength in my heart. Isaiah 55 verse 12. For you shall go out. So after you have received that substance, then you can now go out with what? Joy. And be led out with what? Peace. You know, the peace of God has surpassed it. What will now happen? The mountains and what? The hills shall break forth into what? Singing before you. And what? All the trees of the field shall clap their hands. You know, it is this mountain that I was telling them in Mark 11. If you will say to this mountain, those obstacles. So it is in the place of prayer you go, you receive that thing. That thing serves as an assurance. It excites you. It brings joy. It brings strength. Then you can go out with that joy. You can go out with that substance. You can go out with that strength. And then you can go and face that mountain. And what after that mountain will give way. It will break out into what? Sinking before you. And all the trees of the field shall do what? You know, when they are clapping their hands, what it means? They are saying yes to you. When you clap for somebody, are clapping for someone, what is the meaning? Is it not somebody in agreement that you're hearing that you, if you are fighting with somebody, will you be clapping for the person? If you're in opposition with somebody, will you be clapping for that person? So that things will now begin to work in accordance, according to that which the Lord has spoken. So we cannot pray in place of prayer. So when you pray, say when you pray. So when you go and pray, you pray with wanting to have this, with wanting to have a substance, with wanting to have that peace, with wanting to have that rejoicing in your heart that you can now go out with. So it is not there's something called prayer of faith. There can also be a prayer of doubt. So you are praying to want to receive this in your heart. Amen. So you want to receive this. So you go. So you are led out with joy. With eyes on the unseen. You are rejoicing. You know, Job 5:20 say we will rejoice in famine and destruction. You know why you can do that? It's because you have received a substance. So even when things look contrary, then you can go with that joy, that assurance. You know what is supposed to rejoice? It's not the what you can see. Say, for we do not focus on the things that are seen. What you are seeing is you are seeing what God has painted to you. That picture has become strong in your heart. And then it is then, for why we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. So that which God has painted for you, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. So tell them, but say the things that you are seeing now, that look so real to you, say they are temporal. So you must tell them this thing, this family. Say this family. Say it is temporal. It is temporal. We put our eyes on abundance. And that God is able to supply all our needs. Just like Pastor Thomas said, not according to what you have in your bank account, not according to your salary, but what? According to his word, riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So that is our focus. That is the joy. That is what we go to. That's as we are going. That is what we are banking on. And you know, share no then won't share like you hotel feel ah me feel yeah oh me feel yeah according to the riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now okay ah dollar okay ah one dollar. We are sending what riches in glory. You know, it has even become, people even in our workplace, okay, akwasiko yo, wani a, asiko, riches of what? Glory in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And I say, akwasiko yo, abi oga, big gari, what is the 1,200? Hey, everything is increasing, salary is not increasing. No. Say, according to his riches in glory. And that takes me to the next step, which is confession. I'm rounding up on that. Confession is an action of faith. So you say in James, I would have gone there, but because of time, James talks about faith without action is what? I can't hear you. Faith without action is what? He said, show me your faith without works, and I will show you faith with works. No, you cannot say you have faith. Faith is always backed up with what? Action. And one of those actions is about confession. Say confession. And you see, and one of the things that, you know, that in this season that we must learn to do is to know how to bridle our tongue. Because the power of life and death does what? Lies in the tongue. Let's look at Proverbs 18 from 20 to 21. Yeah. A man's belly, look at it though. A man's belly shall be what? Satisfied with the fruit of what? His mouth. Did he say with the fruit of your salary? Oh, I can't hear you. With what? So it is your mouth. Say my mouth. My mouth. Touch your mouth. Say my mouth. My mouth. It is your mouth that satisfies your belly. So you know, said one of the reasons why some of our fathers of faith, they would never make any negative confession. Said a man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth and with the increase of his lips. Shall he what? Be filled. Verse 21. Death and life are what? And those who do what? Will do what? So if you like, speak death. Fruit where? Plenty. If you like life, speak it. You should do what? Plenty. Because he already told us that it is the mouth of a man that does what? Satisfies belly. So we cannot see this. If you have thrown confession away, this is easy to go and bring it back. So our tongue is very powerful. Let's look at James 3, chapter 3, 5 to 6. You know, he was talking about the tongue, that the tongue can kindle a fire. He said, even so, the tongue is a little member. Say a little member. He said, and boast great things. See how great a forest a little fire does what? Kindles. So in fact, your mouth can kindle your faith. And it can kill your faith. It can kindle or what? Kill your faith. As in based on what you say. You know, he was describing a ship. Said, see as big as the ship is. A whole ship. Many ship. All this intercontinental ship. Said, see as big as it is. He said, because of that, he said, what controls it is just a rudder. Say rudder. It's just one tiny thing like this. As big as that ship. It's just one small thing that controls the ship. That makes it move either to the left, to the right. That's what you're saying about the tongue. That is the power of the tongue. That the tongue is just like that. He said, look also at ships. Although they are so large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by what? A very small rudder. Wherever the pilot what? Desires. So you see in the scripture, he said, whatever you desire, pray, say. You see, it's Matthew Mark chapter 11. You will see what he says. He said, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Verse 23, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not do what? But believes that those things he does what? Says will be done. He will have what? He will do what? Have whatever he thinks. Yeah. Whatever he does, what? Yeah. So what are you saying? Ask the neighbor, say, what are you saying? Yeah. Ah! Say, what are you saying to your mountain? Yeah. What are you saying to your mountain? What are you saying to the situations and circumstances of your life? What are you saying to them? And you know what we are supposed to say to them? We are supposed to say to them the word of the Lord. Said, we believe, therefore we speak according to what? The word of God. Let's look at that scripture. And since we have the same spirit of faith, so there's something, when you have faith, you always say. You can't have faith and be saying otherwise. He said, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is what written, I believed, and therefore our word spoke. And we also believe, and therefore what speak. So that faith is according to what is what written. So what are you speaking to your situation? Let me ask your neighbor, say, what are you speaking to your situation? What are you speaking to it? So there is a close distance between your mouth and your heart. Faith is expressed by saying. Faith is expressed, don't joke with saints. Let's look at James 1:26. If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not what? Bridle his tongue. Yeah. What is he doing? Deceives his own heart. This one's religion is what? Useless. Yeah. Can I just say faith? So if you say, I have faith, and then you are speaking contrary, that your faith is what? Useless. Yeah. Because the mouth and the heart, they are connected. Say they are connected. So we must build our so in this season we must build our tongue. We must know what we are saying to the situations of our heart. You know Jesus when God told the Moses to bless, he said, in this manner you will bless the children of Israel. Doing what? He didn't say lay your hands. Doing what? Saying. Say saying. So you know that same James was saying that the power that this same tongue can bring blessing. That some people use it to bless. And they use it to curse. That is not supposed to be so. That it can spring forth both blessing and curse. Yeah. So it depends on what you want. So you can bless your day. Yeah. You can bless your business. You can bless your children. And when you do that, consider you will reap the fruits. Hallelujah. And you bless them by not with just vain words or anything. You bless them with that which the Lord has said. Hallelujah. With that which is what? Written. Hallelujah. Say that which is written. So faith is expressed by saying. So we have prophetic declarations. You know, we have a lot of this in the Pentecostal church. So you see the prophets, those prophets that are fathers of faith, they will come. They will make declarations over us. This week is your week. Those things are, it was just that those things were bastardized. But those things, don't say this, believe a prophet. And what? Yeah, so prophetic word, declarations. That's one of the ways God taught it. In this manner, you will bless the people. We make declarations, prophetic words. You know, you speak words of blessings. Amen. Amen. Let's look at Isaiah 3, verse 10. Say to the righteous. Say to the righteous that it shall be what? Well with them. So you tell your neighbor, so when you wake up in the morning this season, you will tell you, say, for they shall eat the fruit of their doings. You speak to your roommate, say, it is well with you, my sister. No, now you just say, it is well. It is well. It is not a cliche. It is what God wants us to be saying. Say to the righteous that it is what? It is well with you. In this time, it is well with you. We must resurrect those things. Say resurrect those things. So it is well is not a cliche. It is well is declaring God's mind over your brethren. Amen. You see, the same thing also, you don't take thoughts can remain inactive until you say. Let's look at Matthew. Time has gone. Oh my, Matthew 6:31. I just want to show you something in this Matthew 6:31. Therefore, do not worry. Therefore, take no thoughts. That is, do not worry. Did he say thinking? He said, take. So the thoughts will come. But how you take those thoughts is by what? So thoughts can be coming. But immediately you now begin to say those things. Those things enter into your life. The thing will just enter your heart. So therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or where with that shall we but be clothed? So you take the thoughts by what? By saying those things. So when you begin to say, don't know about you, it becomes your reality. I know why it is like that. It is that two levels of hearing. Say hearing. Hearing. That's the same way faith also comes. Faith comes by what? Hearing and hearing. So somebody can be saying something and you've heard, but you have not heard. You come into the second level of hearing when you begin to say those things. You know, how many of you, maybe you sang. People quite, you know now. When you are singing, you feel you are singing well. You just feel my voice. What better? My voice is just, you are singing and then you are looking, you are feeling good. Then you now go back. Go and hear the recording. Now be like, this is not my voice. So that it is not sounding the way you thought you were singing. How many of you, it has happened to you? Maybe even come here to come and talk. You used to feel that you used to talk well. They now listen to say, ah, shit, that's where I was talking. Just, it's not sounding like me. Oh, there is a reason. Say there is a reason. Just natural phenomenon. When you speak, the way you hear, when you speak, the way I'm hearing my voice, it takes two things: ear conduction and bone conduction. The bone conduction is in our inner ears. So it gives it. It is more encapsulating. It gives it, makes it deeper. It gives it more. It makes it deeper, and it gives it more quality, and it is more encapsulating. But you see, when you are hearing with the inner ear, that's the feeling gap. But when you are not hearing from outside, it is just only ear conduction. So the voice is not, the quality is not as deep and as quality as when both ear and bone conduction are involved. That is the inner ears. So just hear it. So that's why most times you will, when you are singing or when you are talking, feel that your voice is better than what you are hearing. Yeah. Except sound people have now helped you package it too. So that's the same thing. Even when you have heard, you know, when somebody, maybe you've heard, that's not you. You are hearing from outer. That's a quality of hearing. But when you now say those things, you involve the second level of hearing. Your inner hearing, it becomes more deeper, more quality. So that is why he said, when you have faith, you have to say. Amen. So if you have faith and you say to this mountain, if you have faith and you don't say to the mountain, that mountain is not going to move. So he said, take no thought. So you can have thoughts. The thought is flying from outside. People are saying, yeah, there's family, hey, money is whatever. But immediately you begin to say it, you just begin to see that the reality will begin to settle in. It begins to involve your internal faculties. So that's why you see the father of faith, they will not say anything negative. They will not say negative things. Why do they not say negative things? Because they don't want it to become what? Their reality. They don't want it to interact with their internal faculties. Because the inner ear involves the brain, involves the bone, involves the skull, involves many several things inside for the internal one. So we have an inner ears to hear. So we must also say, this scripture, so for he that will love life and see good things, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they do what? Speak no guile. So God wants us to be careful about what we say. So you don't take thoughts. I told you that thoughts are not complete process until you start saying. Thoughts can be active. Saying gives them wings. So thoughts can remain inactive. Once you begin to say them, then you give them what? You give them wings. So what are you speaking to your issues? Word must be in your heart and in your mouth. Tell your neighbor, say the word must be in your heart and it must be in your mouth. Let's look at Romans. We'll be closing now. Romans 10, 8 to 11. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in what? In thy heart. So he said that it is mouth first before the heart. It will not enter your heart, your internal faculty, until you begin to say it. I'm going to draw a diagram for us. And in that is the word of faith, which we do what? We preach. Let's continue. That if thou shalt do what? Confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus. And shall do what? Say two processes. So saying with the mouth believing with the heart. So it was confessed with the mouth, the Lord Jesus said, I shall believe in the heart that God had raised him from the dead. Thou shalt be saved. Thou shalt experience the salvation of your Lord in that situation. Amen. Verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. And what? With the mouth. Confession is made what? Unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be what? Ashamed. Let's go to verse 14. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? So they can't call on him if they don't believe. So if there's no faith, they can't cry out. They can't have faith for those things. Now say that, but how shall they believe in him of whom they have not what? Heard. So you have to first of all hear to produce what? Faith. To believe. And how shall they hear without what? A preacher. Verse, we're going to 17. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Verse 16. But they have not all obeyed this gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who had believed our report? So then, faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
And what?
Hearing.
So I believe that that first hearing is the one that is preached. Because you cannot believe without hearing. The second hearing is now when you now begin to say. Then there's an internal process that generates what? Understanding in the heart. When he said that the word of the Lord said the entrance of his word. This other one is the entrance into your heart. And you see, you cannot take those thoughts of God that produces faith, cannot enter where, until we begin to do what? Say. So I'm going to draw, this is one of the pictures, one of the things that God, I drew it in my jotter overnight. So this is it. So you hear, it produces, you believe, which you can say faith, then you confess. So that's the process. But you see, as you confess, what now happens? It makes you the second hearing. So this second hearing, what does it do? It reinforces your belief again. And this is the whole process of now having your reward. Whatever you want. So you see, so I wrote some things here. You can draw it in your book and then you go and, because I even also had to draw it, and then you can go and, this one is Romans 10:9. This one is the first hearing. This one is, then we have, there's a interaction between believing and confessing. They are, you believe, the mouth and the heart are intersected. As you believe, you confess. As you confess, you believe the more. And this one is what? Mark 1:22. Oh, sorry, Mark 11:22. This one is 2 Corinthians 4:11. Hearing, you believe. Romans 10, 14, and then 17. So you see the whole thing. So our heart, said the word is not far from you. Said it is in thy heart. So so we cannot talk about faith. So you cannot say we have faith in this season and will not be confessing those things that we believe. So what are you saying to your mountains? What are you saying to the situations in your heart? To the situations taking place here. So you must, you're not like we are saying, you're not just saying positive confession. You are saying what you have received in prayer as what your own substance. You are saying those things, you take and you are saying those things, you pray those things. As you pray those things, you receive joy and you begin to say those things. Amen. So the spirit of faith is speaking faith according to what is written, not according to the news or reality. We speak our convictions. Hebrews 11:14 says, speak your convictions. Hebrews 11:14. For they that say so, let's start from 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and they were what? Persuaded of them. They did what? They embraced them. So, believe, they believed. And then because they began to do what? Confess that they were what? Strangers. So, he said that believing will always produce what? Confession. Let's find verse 14. Let's see. For they that say such things. So they began to say those things that they believe. Declare plainly that word, they seek country. So believing faith will always produce confessions of your convictions. Let's look at Joel 3 verse 10. It says, let the weak. You see, it is a warfare. You know, it's a warfare against fear. Say, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. Let what? The weak say, I am strong. Say warfare. Say warfare of words. That was how Jesus also fought Satan when he brought temptation. Said, it is what? Written. No, that temptation were in his thoughts. He was not in the pinnacle. That was, I said, take no thought, saying. So the way he fought those thoughts was by what? Saying. And he was not saying, oh, no, I'm not going to hear. I'm not hungry. I'm not going to hit. I'm not going to hit. I'm not going to hit. Don't you know me? I'm not going to hit. That's not what you're saying. He said, it, your Lord, Oba, Lord Tabaot. Ungo, the word. Ofija. He's the Lord, he's himself, he's the word, though. When he was going to make that warfare with Satan, he used word, what is written. So he began to speak. So he said, beat your plowshares into swords. Eh? Let the weak say what? Oh, I can't hear you. Let the weak say what? So we speak based on faith. So we not say, I am weak. No. He said, we are weak, but say that word based on your conviction. That what? What? I am what? Strong. Speaking to one another, Malachi 3:16. I want you to know that the Lord listens and he hears. You know, he said that even that we give account of every idle word that we say. Let's look at Malachi to say, then they that fear the Lord speak a full word one to another. So they say, church, fear your neighbor and speak. And someone said, today, it's not Pastor Dio's style or Pastor Sarah's style. It is God that said this. So they that fear the Lord speak one to another. And the Lord did what? Were they talking to the Lord? Who were they talking to? And the Lord hearkened and did what? So they said, the Lord hears. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. So there was something that began to produce their conversation of faith. They began to confess and God heard. Just like the Lord, God also hears murmuring and complaining. Say, God hears murmuring and complaining. I know how you murmur. You don't only murmur to yourself. You are murmur amongst one another. Say, oh God, could say easy. Ah, I woke God. But put the shishor of Petro. Ah, I woke up here. Queen, your gomma, go salary, could see better. See, do you pomora? Murmuring and complain. No, Pastor taught us about 2 weeks. He said, we should no murmur. I wanted to call this question. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured. And New King James Translation said, and they were killed. They were destroyed. They were killed. The life died in them. Faith died in them. They could not enter into. Imagine God killed them because they were murmuring. We must run away from murmuring and complaining. Yeah. So you go to the market. You went with 5,000 naira and you get out there. You offer a chicken 1 kilo. Offer a 2 kilo. Offer a enough for that they don't sell a door of 200 naira again. It's 500 naira. And you say kilo de no. Just say Lori Nigeria Oluwa Shekini o. I said, God, we give you what? Thanks. Say, ah, no, toothpaste, he's got about 2,000 more. Just say, all thanks be to God. It is well. We must learn those things. Say, show me faith without works. There is faith and works, knee. You have to show that works. Say, God heard their murmuring. So there must not be murmuring in our household, though. We must fight murmuring with thanksgiving. Say, fight murmuring with thanksgiving. With rejoicing. With thanksgiving, say, God, we thank you. You know, it is hot and there's no light. You know, you might want to complain. This Nigeria, Kotia, you are. Just say, Father, we thank you. If you're listening, just say, let us sing one song. And all of you just sing together and just break into singing. You know, I remember when they were going for, one of the sisters touched Shiji's mommy's heart, said that when they were going to Kogi, that the tongue was so long, and they got to a point, all of them were just ready. When they wanted to go and marry our Lily, you know, that the tongue was so long. I remember her sharing that testimony, said she was, that they got to a point that she was so tired, that they were just like, said all of a sudden, the joy and his chorus, they just started singing, and they just started singing the song. Said, and the whole atmosphere in the bus changed. I know they just received strength and they were just singing. Everybody, the atmosphere just changed. That was Jesus told me that, that testimony. Say singing. So you just sing. Everything looks whatever. You know, you want to buy egg. You have 2,000. Cannot buy egg. So you now to cook spaghetti without egg. Eat the spaghetti and thank God and sing. Yeah. Let's say, God, we thank you. That summer food, but cannot eat. Some can eat, but have no food. We have food and we can eat. Glory be to you. You know, there's some people in the hospital. That spaghetti, they want to eat. But that song is not a fallacy. I'm telling you, real, the pastor, they are on YouTube. They want to eat. The condition they have, they cannot eat. They have to pass food through rubber in their nose like this. Some people have conditioned, they say you cannot eat. They even pass rubber and feed. They cannot even pass rubber through their own. They're only on water. So ayokpe ma always your. If only you can just think through it. You know that there is still something to thank God about. No, no, just even Jesus did the same thing. When Jesus saw the multitude, wanted to feed them, then he said they should go and buy bread. When they came, 4 loaves and 2 fish. If it was all like money, let's say I ran okay to go and buy food for everybody in church now. You know, when I was sitting that yesterday, I trust my son. Feed the new multitude. You know what Jesus did? Jesus took it. And did what? He gave thanks, and that was the beginning of the miracle of what? Multiplication. So if there's anything you must learn to do in this situation, is to do what? Give thanks. And you say, God, don't you understand? Even if the tree will not blossom, even the vine will not be set, yet I will rejoice, I will sing. So even in this situation, all of us must become choir. Orinisha. Hallelujah. Laomako. My hallelujah shall never finish. We will just be singing. Singing and giving thanks, and that will be the beginning of our testimony. Amen. Shout hallelujah! Amen. Shout hallelujah! The scripture says, the sound of rejoicing, the sound of rejoicing shall not cease in the tabernacle of the righteous. Come on, give the Lord a shout!
Hallelujah. Can we begin to lift up our hands and begin to thank the Lord in joy? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you. We are a people of rejoicing. We are a people of rejoicing. We are a people of thanksgiving. We are a people of faith. We are a people that breaks into singing. We give you thanks, Lord Jesus. We embrace these attitudes of faith. We embrace this technologies of faith. Alebrone fegede breni shushuba niela brapa kanua tebere netaya. Ola breme niya frapa papa nua lebrenisa. Lord, we believe and therefore we speak. We believe your word. We speak your word. We declare your word. We walk in your word. Come on, begin to declare the word of the Lord over your life, over the circumstances of your life. If you are sick in your body, say, I am strong. I am healed. I have health. I prosper, spirit, soul, and body. If your circumstances need healing, begin to speak to them right now. Like God, your Father is a speaking spirit. Begin to speak to them right now. In the name of Jesus, give way. I am victorious. I am victorious. I am an overcomer. Through the name of Jesus. Oh, I give you thanks over my situation. I give you thanks over Nigeria. We give you thanks over the current seasons of my life. I give you thanks. For I know that all things are working together for my good. All things are working together. Oh, for my good. All things are working together for my good. All things are working together. Ole brene fekelo braka. Thank you. Come on. Can you begin to lift up, wave your hands and just thank Jesus? Thank you for victory, Lord. Thank you for the shout of joy. I give you thanks. In Jesus' name. Can we all say amen? Can we appreciate mommy as we sit down? Thank you so much, Una. That was a classic. And the Lord has anointed you for us this season. Thank you for, I like the way she entered into the word of faith with so much grace. And you can see her teaching it, you know, teaching ways. Those are lines of faith, even in the dimension of the milk. Now, I just want to say two things that I noted while you were ministering. I just felt that that will rebuild some things in. You know, this faith teaching is very refreshing, even for me. And I'm also, you know, gaining more understanding about certain things on how, you know, you need to grow believers. I think that was many years ago. I think it was in church some years ago, while teaching on the same subject of faith, I spoke by the Spirit, like a definition. I said that the technology of faith is the same, but the mannerism of faith changes as we grow. That was, you know, that came as an inspiration while we were teaching Faith of the Son. And, you know, of course, looking at that back now, I knew that that was an inspiration of the Spirit. You know, but one of the things I now found out is that, you know, you need to clearly define or divide between faith technology and faith mannerism. Because the technology of faith is the same even with the faith of the Son. So speaking does not stop. Even with the faith of the Son. I will prove that to you in a moment. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Take me to that same 2 Corinthians chapter 4. So, you know, now, of course, we know that you can confess, you know, when it comes to substantiating for things like maybe healing, prosperity, you know, and other things. But we always think that confession does not work with your walk of faith. But I'm going to show, I have like 3 or 4 scriptures right now. So, you know, I thank God for this teaching, just making us see things clearly. So, confession is like an expression of the nature of faith. It's a nature thing, okay? It's not more of an act than it is. Of course, it's also an act, but it's also in nature. It's ingrained in faith. So there's no way you are walking in faith, no matter what level of faith, that your declarations will not match your obedience according to the will of God. Can we say amen? Amen. I can't hear your amen. No?
Amen.
Look at from verse 12. I mean, is it verse 12? So dead walketh in us, but life in you.
We having the same spirit. Look at that. Same spirit of faith. According as it's written. Of course, I think it's somewhere in Psalms that this thing is written. I believed, and therefore what? I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore what? We speak. So faith in this context is not milk faith. It's not. It's not milk faith. I'm just checking. Faith in this context. Paul was talking about the outworking of the image of God inside the church. So people like Paul, they were had to believe that those people, he said, death is at work in us, but life in you. Those things were expressions of faith. So now look at it. Now look at the next verse after that. Are you following me very well? So confession is always a plus. It's not a minus. It's always an addition. It's an expression of the nature of faith. When you have faith, it affects your saying. Knowing that he that wrought, knowing that, okay, it says we are believers and therefore we speak. Say knowing that he would raise up. So you are saying knowing. So there's a connection. You can now see the connection. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus. And shall present what? Us with you. This is faith. Look at verse 15. Next verse, please. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace. Look at all these things though that mommy taught. They are consistent on every level. Look at what she was teaching. So when you started that message, I knew she was talking beyond milk at a point, but I did not know how to place it until she began to go and said she's teaching more of some lines. I'm seeing some lines that are consistent with your work at every level. It says, for look at what Paul is saying. Are you following my thinking? Aha. For you know, we learn every see, let me tell you. If one thing that you must learn, of course, I've learned that when you are growing with God, God will teach you some things. He will keep teaching you and opening up the word. The word was, there are things that we will know that we didn't know 5 years ago. It's the nature of God. So for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace, my through thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. So you can see, thanksgiving also is a character of faith. So somebody that has faith at any level cannot be grumbling. It's always in thanksgiving. Even when you're obeying faith in the transformation of your soul, it's in the atmosphere of thanksgiving. Remember, I taught this thing last year. So these things must be our culture. Can we say amen? I think now God is bringing them so that we don't just teach them. While she was teaching, I said, okay, God, so this thing is not just teaching. We should ingrain them as a culture. It must be a culture. So even faith must be revealed. Our dealing must be confessed in our faith. Our dealing when it comes to your obedience, you know, hallelujah. As you are yielding to God in obedience, you have to believe and say, trusting God, that what? That the nature of Christ will suppress the nature of death. It's consistent with the spirit of faith. Give me another scripture. Two scriptures on our hand. Okay? I'll find time to teach on this because it was just a wind. I just saw the wind while she was ministering. I said, okay, I've known this thing before, but it became clearer. Now look at another scripture just to strengthen that. So that means that Mark 11, take me to Mark 11. Okay? Mark 11, faith, start from where Jesus said, have faith in God. And Jesus answering and said unto them, have faith in God. Okay? And for verily I say unto you that whatever shall say, you know, this is what Kenneth Hagin used. This is like the pillar of the bedrock of scripture. You understand? Now, of course, you may think that after you grow at a particular point that this scripture is not longer relevant. And now so that it's still relevant. It's just that now your understanding. You see, the technology of faith is the same, but the character of faith or the mannerism of faith will begin to change. Now, what faith now substantiates is now different. Because what Jesus is teaching here is something more like what? How do I put it? More like a technology of faith. Can we say amen? When Zerubbabel was saying, look at it, is this Zechariah chapter 4? This mountain before Zerubbabel should come a plain. He was not talking about the mountain of difficulty alone. As at that time, the mountain was that they could not build the temple. I don't know if you are following me. This is a breakthrough thought. The mountain then was that they were not building the temple. They could not build the temple. So mountains, they change at different situations of your life. At times, a mountain may be a terrible nature. A nature that can stop you from having entrance. So as you are yielding to commandments in obedience, God has given you commandment to begin to walk in. Your commandments and your mouth are in agreement. Amen. This is love. I will walk in love. So don't just say, I will walk in love in your thoughts. Shall, are you following me? Yeah. Say it out. Yeah. Walk in love. I walk in forgiveness. Yeah. As you are receiving commandments to walk in love, you are saying it. So that's why I'm saying that this scripture is more of a technology of faith. Give me another one. There are plenty. Do you know that in Romans 10, Pastor Friday, take me to Romans 10 also. This word of faith that we preach, was it milk that Paul was preaching? Mouth and heart. So even though he worked for new birth, he's not limited there. It's not limited. But he says this word of faith that we preached. So that means that faith at every level has the same technology. Faith in milk, faith of the Son, everlasting faith. They are all technology of faith is the same, but the mannerism is now different. By the time you move into faith of the Son, the way faith of the Son acts will now be different. But that technology is what? Still the same. What was that? Faith is always substantiating an hope. Faith is always a substance of things hoped for. And ask me, once you have a substance is always connected to saying. So at any level, so once you receive a substance of faith, for instance, you know, when you're obeying Christ, for you to actually even become Christ, you must believe it. And when you have the substance that you will become Christ, you will not be saying, I can't become Christ. Because some of us don't, you know, I feel some people have a belief that they cannot even become incorruptible. That this is like it's just far. No. There's a way faith is. The atmosphere of faith. When faith touches you to a level, faith will affect your tongue. You will see it and it will train your tongue. So I now understand that. So the fathers of faith, if they come into this hunger, they will run faster. They have a discipline already. If they come, let me say, they want to start with you with word of righteousness, they will run faster. They have certain disciplines that have already helped. It is a leverage. So those disciplines, you will need them at every level of your growth and development. You will always need to confess. You will always need to give thanks. It does not stop at any level. What happens is that some of us stop those things. Some of us never even knew them. So that's why I said they are not just teachings. We should enculturize them. Because people will not grow. A lot of people are hearing doctrine. They are complaining every day. That's pondering. Oh, they grow like ye. The atmosphere of growing with doctrine is an atmosphere of faith. It's an atmosphere of thanksgiving. It must be with you all the time. The last one I saw was the one in Hebrews 11. You know, Hebrews 11, was actually a type of everlasting faith. You know, I've taught it before. You know, even though we use Hebrews 11, now faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. You know, we use it, but the faith teaching started from chapter 10. And if you look at chapter 10 was talking about saving of the soul. Paul was talking about saving of the soul. Even though fathers of faith taught this, now faith is. They used it, but actually, that now, when he said now faith is, it began from chapter 10. Look at 10:38. Now the judge shall live by faith. He was telling the Hebrew church that you have to continue obeying faith. Don't draw back. Because the Hebrew church were about drawing back. They wanted to go back even beyond milk. They were tired of the journey. No. That you guys have to press on. He says, God does not have pleasure in you if you draw back. But we are not them that draw back into the nation, but of them that believe unto what? So what is faith in this context? No, please don't. Because you see, one of the things we must recover when you want to be sound in doctrine is to recover context. So look at chapter 10:39. But of them who believe unto what? What was the last thing that was said here? Oh, you are not talking to. What was the last thing that was said? Now look at chapter 11. Now faith is. So you think it's different? Actually, it's the way the writers of scripture wrote scripture, they are not in chapters originally. In fact, I heard Casey Price say that this now is in italics. I'm not arguing on that. He said it's in italics in some Bible. So you can actually say, now look at 39. We believe under the table of our soul. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So what Paul was telling the Hebrew church is that you people don't have faith. What happened is that they saw the challenges before them and they were tired. They wanted to go back. Just like, you know, in the wilderness, when they went to spy the promised land and they saw the sons of Anakim. Because in your mind, when God says that you will possess the promised land, oh my, easy now. They're not working. You go and check it. Look, oh, Kaya Maravania. Thank you, Jesus. They saw what they saw. Was it not real? The sons of Anakim were 6 foot tall and beyond. No, what did I say 6 foot? They were above 6 foot. They were giants. Maybe like 7-8 foot tall. So we saw the sons of Anakim. And look at it. Now, if you look at it, so that means that they saw the sons of Anakim. And when they came, they said what they saw. And the Bible records this as evil reports. Ask me why. Because it was not consistent with the promise. Evil reports. So you now see this. So you can see that the technology of faith is the same. They said something. So when we are talking incorruptible faith, we are talking about faith of the Son, saving of the soul, and you are saying something else. Oh, the faith in the air. I said, no, it doesn't matter what I say. I am obeying faith. No. If you're obeying faith, it will change your tongue. Is what I'm saying, does it make sense? So now look at that Hebrews 11. Now take me to verse. There are too plenty. Then look at the Malachi one that she opened also. Those that feared one another, they spoke often to one another. They were speaking. That speaking, take me to Hebrews 11. When it says that, Hebrews 11, 14. It's just a wind that came. Look at that. These all died in faith. So they died, but they were still in faith. They died, but they were still in faith. Why? Everything that people of faith should have, they had it. The only reason why they didn't receive the promise was the promise cannot be received in that time. So they are waiting for us. That's why towards the end it says, them without us cannot be made perfect. But everything, they got it. So these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them what? Afar off. Look at that. And were what? Persuaded of them and embraced them. All these are consistent. So all Baba Egin taught us is consistent with faith. We will need all those discipline in journeying to the end. You will need all those discipline. The mannerism is different, no doubt about it. The dealing is different. The dealing of milk faith and the dealing of the faith of the Son is different. I can even tell you, the dealing of faith of Christ and everlasting faith is also different. The manners changes because you are walking with beings at different level. When you are walking with the Father trains you differently from Christ. So you understand? So look at it. They embraced them and confessed that they were what? Strangers and pilgrims on earth. If they embrace those things, it will show in their confession. They cannot embrace those things and confess negatively. So this is clear. For they that say such things declare what? Plainly. So we are learning this. So we should declare plainly. We are going to work on this. This is a breakthrough. We should declare plainly. We should declare things that we are walking in and believing. Hallelujah. So, hallelujah. So I believe that I will be incorruptible. I believe it. I can't believe less. Hallelujah. Can we appreciate God today?
Thank you for listening. We believe you have been greatly blessed. For further information, you could visit our website at www.thecitygatechurch.org. God bless you.